Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Alpharetta, Georgia, it's time for Alpharetta Business Radio, spotlighting the area's best businesses and the people who lead them.
We're glad to have you with us this morning. We had a little technical difficulty there. I must be something that somebody's added on that I haven't noticed somewhere. But in our studio today, we have two great people with two great companies that you are going to want to know about. We have Louis Agudo with It's a Great Day for Business, Inc., and it is a great day for Business, Inc., isn't it?
It is a great day. Every day is a great day, Chris.
No better time to be in business than right now.
Absolutely.
And we also have Jeff Waller, who is a software development company in the educational field, and we'll be talking to him about his company, Accent Incorporation, and Seven Mindsets. I haven't got a mind, so I have some problems with this occasionally. But one of the things that we do want to do is give everybody a chance to tell the stories, because they've got some great things they're doing. And I want to start with you, Louis, if we can.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about It's a Great Day for Business, what you do and who you work with.
Oh, It's a Great Day for Business, Inc. You know, this came about with a collaboration with my business partner, Randall Phillips. And about almost 2 years ago, we met at a meetup. I was giving a talk to a group of individuals about credibility. And we formed a friendship after this meetup, and he came up with an idea to have a video show. And this video show was an interview show that we would do at this meetup, and it was roughly every 2 weeks, I would interview someone, and I would interview a business leader. We'd have a video of this. We'd have a unique URL on YouTube that this individual would be able to use to market to their consumers out on LinkedIn, use it on email, use it on Facebook, however they chose to use it. And it was effective. And every 2 weeks we did that. And that meetup kind of dwindled down. The organizer didn't want to do it anymore. So he ended up taking it to another route. And that was by doing this show called It's a Great Day for Business Atlanta. We met every 2 weeks, and it was a 90-minute show, and we'd video the whole show, and we'd have people come in and be able to give an info minute, have it videotaped, and then put it on, and we'd put it on YouTube. Then they'd have their own unique URL and be able to use it for marketing purposes. And this transformed over a year of doing this. We just had our one-year anniversary show this past January. And since then, now we're transforming it into It's a Great Night for Business and more of a social networking and meeting people and letting people know that there are options out there that they can do that are different than the ordinary ways of going about business.
Yeah, very interesting. You know, what is your background? How did you come to being a personality on YouTube?
Well, you know, I think I've always had a personality, but that would be
we could never tell.
That'd be up for people to decide. You know, my story is, you know, I'm from New York. I was born in Queens, moved out to the East End of Long Island at an early age, and started a business. I went to college, and it just didn't work out for me. So I ended up working for a builder. I learned how to be a craftsman. I worked for him for 5 years, and at the age of 22, I had an opportunity to start my own business, and I did. And I started, I called it Woodworks, and what it was renovation work, a little building of furniture, things like that. And before I know it, I just kept getting work. People just kept hiring me. No reason why, except that I did the credible things that a lot of business owners fail to do. When someone calls you, guess what? You call them back. Someone emails you, guess what? You email them back. When you tell someone you're going to do something at a certain time, you do it. And it's amazing how many business owners take that for granted.
Just the basics.
And that's what I do a lot of, or teaching individuals. You know, are you doing the basics you need to do?
How is that history and what you did there and what you learned there, you know, played into what you do now?
Well, it's really interesting because, you know, after being in that business for over 20 years, Back in 2005, I moved here. I moved here at the time I was married. We had children. And the reason we moved here was for no other reason than a change. We didn't have to move, but we decided to move. And so coming here gave me an opportunity to reinvent myself. I was, after 20 years in construction, I was tired of it. I wanted to do something else. I always felt there was something different, something else out there for me to do. So I started a home inspection company at the time. And an interesting thing occurred. I figured, you know, I'm going to go out. I'm going to start marketing, networking. Chris, why wouldn't you hire me? I'm Louis Agudo. I know everything there is to know about a home. And a funny thing happened was I had to learn that, you know, I had to learn how to network. I never knew that what I was doing in New York was actually networking. But once I moved here, I saw, okay, a lot of those skills I had transcended here, and now I can network. And I learned how to network. I learned how to do that. And in 2008, real estate market went down. Banking stopped. Everything went down, and I decided, okay, time to reinvent myself again. I've always been one to, if a door opens, to walk through it. No fear. You have to take the opportunity. And that's with my business partner, Randall, gave me that opportunity. So I've decided to walk through, and we both decided to walk through together and see where this takes us.
And what's Randall's background?
Randall, we have a lot in common. We are both from construction fields. He was a plumber for over 15 years. So we both have that history together. We also have the same philosophy of life. And it's important that when you work with people that you have the same philosophy of life. It's important to have teamwork. It's important to have people that you surround yourselves with who are good at a certain particular thing that they do. And it's important. And he has his strengths and I have my strengths.
You can't do it all yourself.
You can't do it all yourself. And what we find is a lot of business owners believe they can do it all themselves. And sometimes it's better to spend that money, have someone else do it, so you can do what you're more effective at. And that's what we teach. We teach people that, you know, you have options. And a lot of people have their blinders on, I like to call it. Chris, you can sit here and tell me all day what I should be doing, because you have no self-imposed parameters or barriers when you look at me. But myself, I have those on. So I need different people in my life who have that same philosophy of life, but who have also can talk to me in a way where I'll be accepting and I can go and grow as a person.
Yeah, you have to have an open mind to do that, don't you?
You really do have to have an open mind, but you have to take a chance. You have to take a chance. If you continue to do the same things you always have done, guess what? You will always have the same results. And a lot of people have a fear, and people can get through that fear. It's scary. Hey, I moved here from New York. I knew two people, my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law. That was it, and I started a business. But you have to put yourself out there. You know, you have to believe, because, you know, look at Thomas Edison. 10,000 times he tried to make a light bulb work and never did. And guess what? 10,001, it finally worked. Imagine if he would have stopped at 20, at 30 times, at 50 times. And the one thing that we have to remember is that all the mistakes that we make in life, all the errors that we make in life, those are learning experiences. Those help us grow as individuals, personally and professionally.
But do you have to blunder into these same problems yourself, even though perhaps other business owners have already been there?
Oh, say that again. Can you restate that? I didn't understand.
Is there your only choice to go out and make your own mistakes, or can you take advantage of people that have been there before you and learned what to do in those circumstances?
Absolutely. And the one thing that we have to do as humans is continually educate ourselves. You know, Chris, do you read every day?
Absolutely.
Right? You got to take at least 30 minutes, an hour of your day to read every day. We in Atlanta drive on average, God, maybe an hour, maybe more a day. When I'm on appointments, who knows where I'm driving?
It takes me that long to get out of my driveway.
That's the best time to educate yourself. There are so many motivational CDs, educational CDs that people can use. Every day you can educate yourself, whether it's personally or professionally, in a field that you choose. And a lot of people don't take advantage of that. Some of the questions I ask is, you know, how much TV do you watch a day? Average American watches 6 hours, four hours, 5 hours, some crazy number. Well, how about if you just cut that by 20% and take that 1 hour and read a book? Read a book every day. Half hour, what's that, 20 pages? When you think about 20 pages a day and you take that over 365 days, all of a sudden you've read 12, 15 books a year?
Yeah, I think I read that most people, I mean, this was an astounding percentage of America, had never read a book other than maybe a, you know, a pulp novel, you know, or picked up a business book or a how-to book since, you know, since high school.
Well, one,
that's
what,
frightening.
It is frightening, and one of the things that people get inside a box, and it's tough for them to get out. And you need guidance in life. You need to, when someone gives you an opportunity, you need to take it. You need to jump out of it. And for me, I have, and it's very interesting, I consider Randall, my business partner, also a good friend. And why is that? Because he opened a lot of doors for me that I didn't know could be opened.
I didn't see it.
Well, one thing are the motivational CDs and learning. I have never heard of a lot of people he talked about. Why? Not from not wanting to know this stuff. I just never exposed to it.
Yeah.
And since that time, it has just opened up a world of life and difference, and it is making a difference.
It makes a difference. Now you. It's not only what you know, it's how you improve the things that you don't know that makes you valuable.
Oh, it really is. It really is. And the important part that also for me are helping people and expecting nothing in return. And that's important. And as Zig Ziglar says, if you go around and you help enough people get what they want in life, you're going to get what you want in life. And that is so important. And I think people fail to realize that. A lot of times I will go to a networking event and meet with people, and someone will give me their card, tell me what they do, and tell me how they can help me. Not really even asking about myself.
They don't know anything about you, but they're sure they can help
you. But they're sure they can help me, absolutely. And that happens all the time. And that's a big error when people go out and network like that.
Absolutely. It really is one. I'm sure it's one of the things you learned in networking. It's not about you. If you want to be a successful networker, it's never about you.
Well, unfortunately, I would say 70 to 80% of the people don't know that.
Yeah, and... You know, how do you help people like that don't know?
One way is to really point it out to them. And it's true to point it out because, you know, I'm from New York.
Means you're shy and retiring.
I got to tell you, you know, one of the biggest learning curves for me was moving here and how nice people were. I remember going the first Sunday that I moved here and I went to Starbucks and I wanted to have my cup of coffee and I wanted to be left alone. I just want my cup of coffee. Just like when I walk into New York, I pay, I get my coffee, and I walk away. Well, this person was the nicest person in the world at 6:30 in the morning. How is your day today? How is everything going for you? I was like, there were two ways I could go, right? One was just give me my coffee. Or one was engaged. I decided to engage.
It's fun, isn't it?
It is fun. And I've had to learn that.
Well, you know, having lived in one of the suburbs of Manhattan myself, better known as Miami.
Okay.
I know exactly the people you're talking about, and it's a very different, you know, acculturation.
It is. And one of the things I will do is I will point out to someone if I feel that they're talking to me in a way that just doesn't make sense to them, that does them an injustice. I'll meet with someone for coffee, try to get to know them, because I think building relationships, there is the professional part, but I need the personal part. I need to know, do we have something in common? Can we work together? You know, one of the biggest things that for me is that if I have an appointment at 9 o'clock and you're the one who reaches out to me and you set the appointment and you set the time, and I show up at 10 of 9 and I'm waiting for you and you don't show up till 9:03, which happened to me a few weeks ago, well, guess what? You have just lost a large amount of credibility in my book. That's important.
That telegraphs a lot about how you think of people.
It really does, because the fact is that, you know, if I'm going to give you, Chris, a referral to someone I know, you know, I have to make sure that you're credible. I have to make sure that by your behaviors and what you say and your follow through and what you do, that you actually do what you say you're going to do.
You know, this sounds a lot like kind of business coaching. Is that kind of what you do?
Yes, it is. It absolutely is. Randall and I do business coaching. And it's really, you know, and business coaching, I've always fought that business coaching because I believe it's life coaching also. You know, what people do in their personal lives, does that transcend to their business life? What people do in their business life, does that transcend to their personal life? I think it all comes around that the way you act in your personal life is the way you're going to act in your business life.
And how do you work with somebody that becomes a client of yours?
Well, you know, we start out with an interview first, and it's interview sheets that we want them to fill out. And that guides us to see, how invested are they in doing something in their life? It's a 4 or 5 page sheet, and it asks questions. And there are no wrong or right answers, but it requires thinking. And it requires to get it done in a timely manner. It requires to get it back to us within 24 hours so we can look at it. People reveal themselves over time. And that's one of the first revelations. Do we get it in time? Or do we get it at a meeting? Or are there excuses of why we haven't gotten it?
Yeah. You see people in business all the time that seem like they're never able to complete anything. You know, I've got a client right now that I work with who has got a good business, but he'll commit to having something to me. And, you know, a week will go by, 2 weeks will go by, 3 weeks will go by, and there is always something. Well, you know, I had to work today because, you know, we had this big project and somebody screwed something up. You know, is that a symptom of somebody that has a business coaching problem?
A time management problem, too. Business coaching, mm-hmm. time management. Mm-hmm. You know, when I talk to people and I ask them, you know, so what'd you do yesterday? You know, is it on paper? Did you keep a list of exactly what you did? Do you know what you're going to do tomorrow when you go to bed? When you go to bed, you should have your list already done. You should have the names of the people who you're going to meet, the appointments or the people you're going to call, their phone numbers. You should keep a log. Time management is very important. And, you know, we all have lives other than business. And we all have to do the important things in our lives for us to succeed. One of the important things for me are exercise. Mm-hmm. I think to be good in business is you need to exercise. You need to physically exercise and you need to mentally exercise.
You mean that supine position I assume on the couch with a scotch and then I lift regularly? Is that going to qualify?
Well, you know, we all have our vices, and for me, it's exercise, and I think it's important because it's all about the whole, not just about little bits and pieces of our lives that make us strong, unique, and can move forward.
Now you mentioned that you know someone that has a show up in New York that's had Richard Branson and a bunch of other people. And how many of those people have coaches?
Oh, I bet they all do. I bet they all do. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I know the president of Google does.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, again, you know, we see things one way. We really do. And if you do not have an open mind to look outside of your self-imposed parameters, outside of your box, you know, you'll get stuck. And what happens with a lot of business owners is they don't look two steps ahead. They're always looking right now, mm-hmm. and they're not looking two steps ahead. And, you know, at times in life, the economy is great, things are flying great, the money is coming in, and all of a sudden it stops. And they're not prepared for when it's going to stop.
What role do you think pride has in holding a business owner back from seeking help?
You know, that's an interesting question. Pride. That's an interesting question. Is it pride? You know, like a machismo factor, as you're talking about. I don't necessarily agree with the pride. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think it's more of being closed-minded to the fact that there are other opportunities and options that are available, and not looking outside of that. You may call it pride, and that might be a good thing.
Short-sightedness,
to call
it.
I look at that other side. Absolutely.
Now, so many people seem like if they're making any money, they consider themselves a success.
Right.
Yeah, although they may not be in the eyes of a coach doing very well at all, because you know what is possible.
Right, right. And you know, what do we use, 5% of our brains? God, imagine if we used 15%, 20% of our brains.
Or just doubled it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, you brought up money, right? How much do you want to make? Right? And does money make you successful? Does that mean you've reached what you've wanted to reach, or is it giving back to your community, or is it helping more people?
You're full of questions.
Well, I, you know something, we all have the answers. We do have the answers, and the question is, are we willing to do the hard work to come up with the answers?
Now, I guess that, you know, begs the question, when you're talking to someone who's considering getting help, how do you evaluate if they will be a good candidate for business coaching? Because not all people are, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, you know, it really, philosophy of life. You know, if there's a struggle between Randall and someone he's talking with, or between me and someone, or we're both talking with, And we just can't help this person because they're not ready to be helped. And we have to walk away. You can't help everybody. Now, that doesn't mean that someone else can't help them. That's why you go to a ice cream shop. There are 32 flavors of ice cream, right? Why are there so many business coaches out there? You know, why are there so many self-help books? Because we have to hear things in a different way. And maybe I'll resonate with someone, maybe I won't, but then again, maybe you'll resonate with someone.
Now, that's a good, that brings up another question, which is, what's the difference between motivational books and tapes and educational books and tapes and working with a business coach?
That's a great question. I don't think there's much difference. I really don't. I think they're both pretty much the same. You know, the motivational stuff has a lot of education in it. And really, it's pushing yourself forward and getting through our barriers to exceed and achieve success.
And does a business coach help you do that?
We try. We try. You know, ultimately, it's up to you, Chris. Ultimately, it's up to the individual to take charge of their life. You know, we all have the same opportunity. We all have the same access to information. What sets people apart? What makes them different? And those are the ones who are willing to accept the change and accept the knowledge that's out there and try to make themselves different.
That's the difference between the 1% and the 99%.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So if somebody wants to move from the 99% into that top 1%, what have you got to help them right now?
Oh, well, then they should contact us. That would be a great start. That would be a great start.
And how do they do that?
Well, you know, one way is going to our website. It's a great day for business.com. You go there, you can contact either Randall or myself, or another way is to call us at 770-826-3700. And that will get you to us, and then we'll be able to take it from there. You know, because we want to sit down with someone first. We want to do a complimentary session. We want to see, do we want you as a client? And that's important, because if we see that there are things that we can't help you with, or you're not open to suggestion and not open to change, we'll walk away.
You're not going to let them waste their money.
No, absolutely not.
And your time.
Not. Yeah, absolutely.
Even though you're getting paid for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
That's part of the having the right attitude about serving the client.
Right.
And again, if people want to get a hold of you, what is that website again?
That it's a great day for business.com. And the number is 770-826-3700.
Well, great, Lewis. It's been great having you on. Can you stay in the station for our next guest?
Oh, absolutely, Chris. And I appreciate it.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
Our next guest is Jeff Waller. You're the president, I guess?
President, yes.
President, okay, mm-hmm. So you're the guy that signs the checks, and that's where all the subpoenas come, too, of Accent Corporation. Tell me, how did you come up with the name Accent? What's it about, and what do you do?
Accent is it's an educational software business. We develop software for special needs kids, and it's a combination of the word Accent and Excel put together, or Excel and Ascent put together, and you get the word Accent. And we've just created a business unit called Seven Mindsets, which is something we're really excited about, which focuses on working with young people to help them graduate and move on to better, happier, more meaningful lives.
And that's not just the people that have learning disabilities.
No, no, not at all.
These are the average kids that so many of whom we know drop out before they ever graduate from high school.
You know, it's funny. That's how, we've been working with young people since 1988, and about 2005, we started to kind of do some research to see how things were going, and we started to see things. You've heard these stats that every 9 seconds a kid drops out of school. That means 20 million young people in school today won't graduate. The moment they drop out of school, they're 3 times more likely to go to prison. They're 2.5 times more likely to end up on welfare. They live 12 years less. They make $500,000 less than a high school graduate. It costs us as taxpayers hundreds of billions of dollars. It's a huge issue. We learned that the average 1 in 3 young women are pregnant before the age of 20. The moment they get pregnant, their 80% chance ended up on welfare. They got a 2% chance of graduating from high school. The one that really scared us was the fact that suicide is 10 times more prevalent today among young people than it was in 1960, and that the average onset age for depression is now 14 and a half years old versus 29 years old back in 1960. And just to put that in perspective, more young people committed suicide in the last 10 years than died in the American Vietnam War. I mean, that's incredibly alarming stat. So we decided we were going to figure out what we could do different to have an impact, and we executed a 3-year multi-million-dollar study to sort of understand what is it that people who live success, happiness, and meaningful lives are doing differently. And we have a radio show. We interviewed about 400 of the most successful people in the world: Richard Branson, Anita Roddick, Jack Canfield, Mark Victor Hansen. We researched all the studies. We read all the books. We work with about 10,000 young people every year. And we came to one conclusion, and it was basically that success, happiness, and meaning in life are not predicated on what you know. It's predicated on how you think. And we decided then and there that we were going to change everything we did, and we were going to focus 100% on helping young people think differently about who they are, the environment around them, and their future. And when you do that, you fundamentally change who they are and the decisions they make in the present. And that's how we came about the Seven Mindsets.
Who are your customers then? I mean, is it Richard Branson and that group, or are they donors, or do you sell this as a service, or what is it?
Yeah, we do. We have a curriculum product, and we sell it to school systems. And that same product that we alter slightly, we work with community organizations like the YMCA, medical foundations, and places like that. And we're real excited. In the next month, we're gonna, because our goal with all of this is we think we have something that can really help people. And what we ultimately want to do is have it reach as many people as possible in the lowest possible cost with the maximum impact they can have. And so we're rolling out a direct-to-consumer product that anyone can go on and learn this information, which has just had amazing results over the last 5 years since we started to roll this out. And so that product's called Seven Mindsets Masterclass. And that'll be launched in the next 30 days.
Oh, fantastic. So how does that empower a student or a parent or a community or for that matter, the schools or educators or anybody? How does this program change what they're doing or the results they're getting?
Yeah, we just did a pilot at a local middle school here, And we took 51 of their at-risk students. So at-risk in Georgia means they're not on track to graduate. And we ran a 20-week program. And, you know, so it was 51 students. All these kids were at risk either for behavior, academics, or attendance. That's the primary reason kids don't graduate today. And they had taken the CRCT test, which is the standardized test in Georgia. And the primary indicator on graduation is the math score. If you can't pass the math portion of that test in eighth grade, you got a very slim chance you're going to graduate. So when these 51 students took the test in spring of 2011, 12 of the 51 students passed. They took our course for 20 weeks. They retook the test the next spring, and 41 of the 51 students passed. So that was a 250% improvement in graduation rates. And, you know, people ask us, you know, what's this math program you got? Well, it's not a math program. It's a mindset program.
And what do you mean when you say mindset?
So it gets them to think differently about their future, why math is relevant. You know, so it's all about, hey, you know, you can live an extraordinary life. You know, you do have unique greatness in you. Your purpose here is really figure out what that is. Get excited about who you are. Get excited about your life. When you do that, you start to make math relevant to you. And we had a kid in the program who, we always, when we run one of our workshops, we'll ask every kid in the class, who in here doesn't want to be here? This kid jumped up, said, this is ridiculous. I don't want to be here. This is a joke. You know, this is crazy. Can I just go back to class? And, you know, we talked him off the ledge, and he ended up doing great. And one of my favorite stories is he went literally about 3 weeks after we did our 100% accountable mindset, which is all about you control your destiny, your life's what you want it to be from this moment, every moment moving forward, you know, and to ultimately empower someone to sort of take control. He went to his math teacher. He'd gotten a C on his last test and said, hey, you know what? I want to retake the test. A C's not good enough for me anymore. You know, he had changed how he thought his future was going to work out, right? It now had a lot greater value. It fundamentally changes the decisions you make today.
He moved from being a victim to a victor.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. And that's the switch. You know, it ultimately is up to him, you know. And I think through the way we teach our program, the language that we use, it's exciting for young people to hear that everything is possible, that they have greatness in them, and that greatness is not reserved for their few, that they can figure out something they can do that's extraordinary, that their uniqueness is, that being a unique expression of life is a wonderful thing. And if they can figure that out and be comfortable with that and tap into that and figure out how to connect that to the needs of the world, they can do it. You know, they want to hear this stuff. When they start to get excited about their future, things change. They just absolutely change. And that's the power of the mindset. And that's really where we focus.
You know, you start with a belief. You change the belief and you change the behavior.
Absolutely, yeah.
And can you reveal a little bit about how you do that with someone?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's our biggest fear is boring teenagers. And so our curriculum includes inspirational videos, includes music. We have games we play. We have stories we tell. You know, the best way to sort of communicate a complicated thought or an abstract thought is through a metaphor. And so, you know, storytelling is a big part of what we do. We use visual imagery. You know, I'll tell you one thing we do is, you know, we have a life plan. So a big part of what we do is they learn the content and then they take that information and they connect it into their life. They make it relevant to them. And so when they're doing this activity, we play music. And we'll play Natasha Bedingfield's Unwritten, which is, if you listen to the lyrics, it's just an amazing song. And so they're sitting there writing down their dreams, and they're listening to these lyrics about my life's a clear sheet of paper. It's time to, you know, and you'll see them start to break down. And you've hit that seminal moment where they flip that switch. I'm like, you know, I can be more, I can do more, and I'm going to start to take control of it now.
Now, why don't they feel that way to start with?
You know, I tell you, in our research, I think the thing that blew us away the most was that the vast majority of people today go around acting in direct opposition to the very things that can make them happy and successful. So, you know, we know you should take risk, right? We all know risk-taking is part of success, right? And parents know that. You know, consciously you know that, but subconsciously, what we're teaching our kids through our actions and through what we say is, you know, be careful. You know, I don't want you to get hurt. You know, maybe you should stick to something that's a little safer. And you don't mean to do that, but that's what we're doing. And so most of us are walking around with what we call counter mindsets. And the first part of our process is you got to recognize that counter mindset inside yourself. It's like the 12-step plan. The first step is awareness. And when you recognize that, you know, I need to take risk. Risk have been fundamental to everyone who's achieved success in life. I can see where I'm not doing it. I now understand that's destructive in my life. Once you become aware of that, you can't unlearn that. You know, once you build that awareness, and so it really is the fact that our society conditions people to a large extent to think in direct opposition. And you know, people succeed. They're unorthodox. They do things differently. They're acting differently than most people, and that's why they're getting different results.
Is that taught by the educational establishment in this country as well?
You know, to some degree. I mean, there's
conformity. It's okay to conform to social norms for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think we'd all agree with that. But is there such a thing as pigeonholing people too early, putting people in situations where they don't really know they can succeed, and have that reinforced?
Yeah, I mean, yes, I think is your answer. Whenever a kid shares a dream, I don't care how crazy that dream is, you embrace it. You know, you can do it. The first thing, every time we walk into a school, I can tell you in a minute where that school's out based on the expectations that those kids have for their life. And, you know, we'll say, who in here wants to run their own business? Who in here want? And, you know, the sad part's when they don't raise their hand, they haven't even thought about it. But a great school, those kids raise their hand, and they got a clear, positive vision for their future. And I think, unfortunately, we're beating the dream out of them, which is not good, because it puts them in a different place in the moment to act from. And whether the dream can become a reality, the important thing is they believe in something and they start taking action towards it. And through adjustment, they're going to find their path. And I think in general, we try to lock kids early into certain paths. And, you know, I think I have a soul seed. That's how I kind of found what I'm doing. We all have this thing. And, I think the meaning of life is to figure out what it is I'm supposed to do. How am I supposed to find my unique genius, and how do I share that with the world to the maximum extent possible? And when I do that and I create that value, you know, the world reciprocates. That's when you start to make money. That's when you feel good because you're helping people and you're doing things that matter and people respect you. And it comes from finding out who you are and then expressing that.
Yeah. So with that mindset, how has that moved you forward? I know that according to some of the things you've shared with me, is that you're one of the co-founders of Magic Wand Foundation. And would you explain what that is and how these two things are tied together?
So, you know, we're building a business, and we've spent a lot of time developing this curriculum and these tools and this technology, and we're trying to build a for-profit business. But we realize a very large portion of the world isn't going to be able to access this. And so the Magic Wand Foundation was developed to make sure that we find avenues through which we can distribute this to people around the world. And so we have a major presence today in Dominican Republic, Mexico, Colombia. We just got some stuff going in Nigeria. And the goal is, you know, I always say there's a kid in the Congo that's going to change the world. And he just needs to start to believe he can do it and get some information that's going to allow him to start to take the next steps. And I want our information to get to him, because I think that's really how we start to really make a difference.
That's how we tap the human potential. Absolutely. And that's what moves this world forward.
Absolutely.
I mean, machines don't do it. The dollar bills don't do it. The people do it.
You know, everything that's sitting on this table, everything in this world was once just an idea in someone's head, and then they thought it was possible. And they started to take the steps to make it happen.
And everybody told them, you're crazy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You'll never invent that light bulb.
Nope.
You failed 9,999 times.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is that a charitable organization?
It is. Yeah, it is. It is a 501(c). Magic Wand, www.magicwandfoundation.com. We started a program. The way we really got this rolled out, you know, because we have been working with young people since 1988, is we started a program at Disney called the Ultimate Life Summit. And the goal of that was to bring young people, you know, we bring about 150 kids from 15 to 20 countries from around the world, and we teach them what we believe is the best information they can learn as a teenager. And then we bring educators and thought leaders to come watch us. And they watch and tell us how we're doing and tell us what they think works and what doesn't. And so the goal there is that we learn something, we hope we teach them something, then we try to equip them with tools they can then take back to their communities around the world and really start to make a difference. But it all started in 2008. We ran this first event, and it's, you know, it's at Disney, which is already, you know, you can't really go wrong there.
And Disney seldom ever does anything poorly.
Yeah, and you know, it's the place of dreams for sure. So, you know, we run that event every year, and you know, that's really how we spawned this whole dream. We started teaching these, you know, we went from teaching, you know, because we would teach leadership. We taught entrepreneurship was one of our big curriculums that we'd teach, and we just kind of learned that, you know, I can sit there, I can teach a young person how to talk, I can teach them how to look you in the eye, I can teach how to shake hands, network, all those things. But until you figure out what inspires you, until you tap into something that matters, you'll never be a leader. And when you tap into that, all that other stuff just kind of works itself out because you're pretty motivated to figure out how to make it happen. And so we said, you know, we're just going to focus in. We call it We Are Connected, you know. And instead of teaching networking, we say we want you to understand that everyone that comes into your life can help you live your dreams, and you need to figure out where that is. And when you have that mindset, you heighten your conversation with that person, you're developing more meaningful relationships, you're asking different questions, you're finding synergies, and you're figuring out ways you can help each other. And that's how successful people think. You know, they're not blocking anybody out because anybody has something to help them live their dreams.
Well, and that's an interesting point, because so often we're taught, you know, hard sell, mm-hmm. you know, 1,200 ways to close a deal.
Yeah.
You know, how to negotiate like an animal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're not talking about people and relationships and how to help other people, you know, mm-hmm. and in the process get everything you want.
Yep. A great book called The Go-Giver, which we read and studied, and it's just the story of a new business model, which is create value for others. You know, have this mentality, I'm just going to go create value. And when you do that, people respond. They do. And when you have that mindset, you serve people better, your products are better, your employees are happier, they have meaning in what they're doing each day. And, you know, it's counterintuitive because it is the counter mindset, you know, of, okay, I'm going to go give before I get. That doesn't, mm-hmm. that goes against the grain of everything I've learned. But you know what? It works.
It works. In fact, we had a guest on here. He's a great guy, Steve Beecham.
Yeah.
One of our first guests. Yeah. And he wrote a book called Bass Ackwards Business. And it's all about how you turn business on its head and said you help the other person get everything they want. Yep. And then the result is that you'll get everything you want.
It works.
And it's a great little book. So yeah, these messages are kind of our answer to, you know, the dehumanization of business and things that kind of taken place over a period of the years in America. And it's really bringing it back to where it's a people-to-people connection thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, really interesting. How did you get into this? I mean, you know, you said in 2008 you were at Disney. I mean, you didn't fall off the turnip truck here.
Yeah. You know, I got a couple of partners, and they founded a company called Nifty, which is a National Foundation for Teaching Entrepreneurship, and it was formed in 1988. And it's a great story where the guy who founded that company is named Steve Mariotti. And he had been accosted by some young people in New York, actually. And it kind of just paralyzed him with fear. He wouldn't go outside, and he went to a counselor and he said, the only way you're going to get through this is something called flooding, which is only what you got to put yourself in the very environment that scares you, and then you'll overcome your fear. And he said, well, okay, I'll just go teach these kids entrepreneurship. And so that's what he did. He went in, and they went to this school called Jane Addams, which was one of the worst schools in the five boroughs in New York, and went to the principal and said, you know, we want to teach some kids entrepreneurship. We think it'll help them. And she's like, well, I really don't have, you know, I don't really have anyone. Actually, I do. We have 17 kids, but I got to tell you, they're legally being kept off campus because they've either committed a violent act against a teacher or they're drug dealers. But I'll give you a facility offsite, and I'll let you give it a shot. And so we did. We worked with these young people for about 6 months. At Jane Addams, about 40% of the total student population graduates high school. And these kids, you know, we don't believe there's a bad kid, just good kids making bad decisions. But these were clearly the ones that the system had just was essentially waiting for them to drop out. Every one of these 17 kids graduated.
And hoping.
Yeah. Yeah, but every one of these 17 kids graduated. A girl who hated math became a bank teller. A kid who was a drug dealer opened up a recording studio in the Bronx. Another guy, one of our favorite stories, a kid, we always ask students, what would you do for free? This kid liked to eat. He said, like, eat hot dogs. He ended up opening a hot dog stand, got in Yankee Stadium parking lot, got a full scholarship to Johnson & Wales Culinary Institute, and he's a chef. What we learned, though, is when you change the way they think about mm-hmm. themselves, their environment, and their future, you fundamentally change who they are and the decisions they make in the present. And you start to feel that when you have that impact. You know, you can't stop doing that. It's just good stuff.
It's just good stuff. Who is a good partner for you?
A good partner? You know, right now our product works great with middle schools. And in Georgia, middle schools have flexibility to do what's called character education programming. They typically have about 30 minutes a week where they can run programs like ours above and beyond the normal curriculum and have a tremendous impact. And so we've had a lot of success in the last 6 months really developing relationships at the middle school level. We're also working very closely with youth organizations who are looking for who are struggling with how to make a difference in the lives of teenagers. And they're looking for content and programming that can help them achieve their mission. And so the YMCA might be a good example. We're working with an organization in North Dakota called the Dakota Medical Foundation. And our programming is something they can use to augment what they're already doing to really help the people they serve.
How about large business and small business?
You know, we in the international markets where we're starting to grow, we found that we're going in and we're doing HR, we're doing management presentations. We're teaching this information to people in corporations. You know, increase your expectations. You know, just don't think your job's about this. You know, have a bigger dream. You know, figure out how you can take who you are and start to leverage that to make a more meaningful difference in your work. You know, what relationships aren't working? What things can you start to do to make a difference? And we found that's a great way to get into a market. And then it's also a great way to mobilize the mission of empowering youth. So we'll do a program. At the end of that program, we'll share our mission of making a difference throughout their country through the young people. And we found that's a good way to get funding and support as we try to get into the schools and the youth agencies in those markets.
Oh, yeah. Would it work here?
Absolutely, yeah.
So if you were on this program with some people from some of our large corporations around here,
yeah,
it would be a good idea.
Yeah, no, we it's called Seven Mindsets at Work, and yeah. we take a company through the seven mindsets and how to apply them in the work environment to sort of shift the culture around a can-do. You know, one attitude of gratitude for us. It's all about. You know, where attention goes, energy flows. Focus on the good things. Focus on, you know, let those things be the things that grow in your life. That's how a business needs to be thinking.
Well, for those of our listening audience who want to help get involved in some way, how do they get in touch with you?
Yep. So website is www.7mindsets.com. I would encourage everyone to read a book that my partner Scott Schickler and I wrote. And that really lays out the research that we did and the conclusions that we had. And it also talks about our mission and how we think, you know, educators and youth leaders around the world can use this to have an impact in young people's lives. And then in the next 30 days, be on the lookout for a program called Seven Mindsets Masterclass, which will allow anybody anywhere with an internet connection to learn, you know, the stuff that we teach.
Well, Jeff, it's been great having you on. It's a great program. It's a great mission, and we wish you the very best of success, and I hope it goes worldwide.
Yeah, no, thank you. This has been a tremendous opportunity for us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.